Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Mother Jasoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Jasoda celebrated the ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini. As the Brahmins, joined by chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians, also took part, this great ceremony was observed by Mother Jasoda. Purport, there's no question of overpopulation or of children's being a burden for their parents in a Vedic society. Such a society is so well organized and people are so advanced in spiritual consciousness that childbirth is never regarded as a burden or a botheration. The more a child grows, the more his parents become jubilant, and the child's attempts to turn over are also a source of jubilation. Even before the child is born, when the mother is pregnant, many recommended ritualistic ceremonies are performed. For example, when the child has been within the womb for 3 months, and for 7 months, there is a ceremony the mother observes by eating with neighboring children. This ceremony is called Swadana Bhakshana. Similarly, before the birth of the child, there is the Garbhadana ceremony. In Vedic civilization, childbirth or pregnancy is never regarded as a burden. Rather, it is a cause of jubilation. In contrast, people in modern civilization do not like pregnancy or childbirth. And when there is a child, they sometimes kill it. We can just consider how human society has fallen since the inauguration of Kali Yuga. Although people still claim to be civilized, at the present moment there is actually no human civilization, but only assembly of two-legged animals. Sri Shuka Vacha Kadachit Uttanaki Kadachit Uttanika Kota Kaplave Then Marksha Yoga Samaveta Yoshitam Vaditra Gita Dvija Mantra Vachakais Chakara Shunor Abhishechanam Siti. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Mother Jasoda's baby was slanting his body to attempt to rise and turn around, this attempt was observed by a Vedic ceremony. In such a ceremony called Uttana, which is performed when a child is due to leave the house for the first time, the child is properly bathed. Just after Krishna turned 3 months old, Mother Jasoda celebrated the ceremony with other women of the neighborhood. On that day, there was a conjunction of the moon with the constellation Rohini. As the Brahmins, joined by the chanting Vedic hymns and professional musicians, also took part, this great ceremony was observed by Mother Jasoda. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskatya De Siddharne. Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarata Mahan. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can understand what is Krishna consciousness. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as one of his great devotees said, that if we want to understand what is worshipable, then it says that Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanus Tad Vrindavanam. That Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, who's the lord of Vrindavan, and Vrindavan themselves are both worshipable. Ramna Kinchit Vrajavadu Vargena Valkalpitaha. And if we want to find out how to worship Krishna and Vrindavan, the best way of doing it is to study the life of the residents of Vrindavan, specifically the cowherd ladies there. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan. And the way of studying is to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam here specifically, it's full of the culture of the Vedic culture. Vedic culture is not some sectarian culture by some quaint people who live in the village called Vrindavan or Indian or Hindu. Vedic culture means that this is a culture specifically meant to revive one's dormant consciousness so that one can come to one's original position of full consciousness and full happiness. It is in harmony completely with the laws of material nature. Veda, as Prabhupada said, means knowledge. Knowledge means how to be in harmony with the laws of the material energy. The laws of the material energy are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It is not that we can act any whimsical way and get the same result. This is the philosophy of the demons. Because this philosophy is very popular, that by some vote, then we can stop old age, disease, and death. We'll make it illegal in Belgium that no one will be allowed to grow old anymore. It'll be illegal to grow old, to become diseased, or to die. Of course, we may think that's rather extreme, but we think that in other ways we can violate the laws of material nature and everything will be all right. The laws of material nature are explained in summary in the Bhagavad Gita. For instance, Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Nivandanti Mahabaho Dehe Dehinam Aviyam. There are three modes of nature, namely goodness and passion and ignorance. In goodness, we find out in summary, Sattva Sanjayate Jnanam. Or Sattva Sanjayate, Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayati, Raja Karmani Bharata, Pramade Sanjayat Yuta, that from the mode of goodness comes happiness, from the mode of passion comes fruit of work, and from the mode of ignorance comes madness, delusion, and ignorance. That if one wants knowledge, and specifically knowledge how to be happy, then it can only be begun in the mode of the mode of goodness. And if one acts in the modes of ignorance and passion, he can't expect happiness, he'll have to expect something else. In the mode of ignorance, he'll expect madness, delusion, and ignorance. And if he acts in the mode of passion, all he can expect is hard work. That's all he'll get. From the mode of goodness, Krishna says, Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam Lobha Raja Lobha Evacha Raja Lobha Rajaso Evacha Pramade Pramade Jnanam Tamaso Bhavato Jnanam Evacha. That the mode of, by working with knowledge in the mode of goodness, then the result is that one gets happiness. By working to get material rewards for what one is doing, then he becomes, or by becoming greedy, then the result is he gets distress. And by working in ignorance, you simply get more ignorance. In other words, whatever we do in the material world, it has its effect. We may not immediately perceive the effect, but it'll have some effect. And if we don't know what to do, that means we'll sure to do the wrong thing. If we don't have a culture, then we're sure to have something uncultured. And acting unculturedly simply will produce more unculture. It means that people will become more and more degraded. Even in the Bhagavad Gita at the beginning, Arjuna was a little fearful that if we kill off all the people who have some knowledge, the elderly persons, then the result will be that the whole society will fall into chaos in so many different ways. Jishu dustashu varshneya jayante varnasankara, that the population will become vanasankar, little animals running around trying to create havoc. And the result of that will be they'll stop all the pindodaka kriya, all the offerings to the ancestors will be stopped, the ancestors will fall to hell, there won't be any more welfare activities such as building dharmashalas or wells, they'll cut down all the trees, things will just go crazy. In other words, modern society. But modern society, because they're in the modes of material nature, and although they don't realize what the modes of material nature are, but because they're predominantly in passion and ignorance, therefore, the more they advance in passion and ignorance, the more some people become convinced that they're progressing. Although things are getting worse, even they admit that. Every year the statistics come out, how everything is falling apart, crime's increasing, the resources of the material world are diminishing, the pollutions are increasing, the problems are increasing, psychological, physiological, every problem is increasing, and yet they claim they're advancing. So this is called madness. And under the spell of the modes of material nature, adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatan viparitam va, this is buddhi tamasam, buddhi tamasam uchite, that they don't know what to be, they think that religion is irreligion, and they think that irreligion is religion, and therefore they're always under the spell of darkness and illusion, they're always striving in the wrong direction. So in this age, a person who's less than a human being, if he has money, then he's considered to be quite elevated. And a person with all godly qualities, if he doesn't have money, he's considered to be degraded. But we may think, well, that's life in Kali Yuga. The problem is that the laws of material nature still work. Whether or not one is convinced that he's going to heaven and that everyone else is going to hell, there are some religions like that, they claim that everyone else is going to hell. If you don't eat meat, if you don't perform in ways that we consider sinful, they think you're going to hell and that they're going to heaven. But at the end, when the Amadutas get their next assignment, it won't be assigned by, you know, their ideas. They get their assignment from Yamaraj, who happens to read the same books that we read. So a lot of them will wind up quite surprised. They'll be wondering, you know, when they're brought before Yamaraj, this doesn't look like heaven. Something's wrong. You guys got it all wrong. But that's not the way the laws of the material world work. Therefore, pravritim cha nivritim cha jana navidur asura nasochim napichachiro nasatyam teshu vidyate, that they think, they don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor proper behavior, nor truthfulness is found in them. This is the symptoms of the asuras. And why are they asuras and rakshashas? Because principally they deny Krishna. They deny the ultimate authority. They deny the ultimate father. And they think they can act whimsically. but they're being controlled by the lower modes of material nature, and the lower modes of material nature invariably bring one to the present state that we're in now, where people think they can do whatever they want for sense gratification. They've become convinced that there's no need to control the senses. They can perform any abominable activity, and everything will be all right, including, as Prabhupada mentions here, now it's become acceptable to kill children. You just give it some scientific label, or as they say in English, you give a dog a bad name, and then you hang it. So this is the technique. You just give it a label. It seems to be alive. It's screaming. It's moving about. But it's not really alive. It's just a tissue. You're removing an unwanted tissue. And you have to slam it real hard with a hammer. Just so it stops moving. Why won't this tissue stop moving? Why does it scream? It's a weird type of tissue. So you give it some label like that, and then you kill it, and everyone nods, yes, that was good work you did. You get the Nobel Prize. So by some kind of false philosophy, because that's what it is. Even, for instance, in America, where it's legal to have abortions, they've done films, they're trying to kill the children in the womb, and the child's moving away, trying to avoid being killed, and they're watching it, you know, suffering and trying to get out of the way of the... But they say, oh, this is just a reaction. Similarly, to kill the animals, you know, it appears that the cow is crying, there's tears, but this is just a chemical reaction. In other words, people just become, under the modes of material nature, they become completely insensitive. And the more they become insensitive, the darker the more they enter into the darkness of material existence. Because it's not that they're becoming insensitive that they're not going to suffer. But they're already suffering due to their insensitivity. And the more they become insensitive, then the more they get sinful reactions for what they're doing. And they have to suffer more and more. 5,000 years ago, when the sages heard that one black man was beating on a cow, they were shocked. But how could someone hit a cow? They couldn't believe it. But now, this is rather an ordinary, you know, hitting a cow, there's no problem. Even nowadays, if you kill a few people, no one really minds very much. You know, you have to kill enough people to get your name. If you kill one or two people, it's not worthy of the news anymore. You have to kill 20, 30 people, and then, you know, your name may make it into the newspapers, because there's so many other people, you know, in competition with you. Similarly, because the people are sinful because they're in ignorance, therefore they elect people who are equally sinful. They make as their leader Andayatan Dirapagyamanas Tepisha Tantra Urudami Bada. Their leader is blind, and they're leading them in a blind way. So they don't know who's actually a proper leader. They don't even know that the purpose of life is to become happy. As I said before, one time when I was in Buffalo, Prabhupada was visiting Buffalo for the first and only time, temple where I joined, and Prabhupada asked during one class, he said, "Do you want to be happy?" And the four or five devotees who were there, including myself, we were all confused. Do you really want to be happy? In other words, although happiness is the goal, people have even forgotten that that's what they're trying to do, is to become happy. And they don't know that what they're really looking for is knowledge how to become happy as long as possible. But there's no, because the training, what is happiness? Therefore, modern civilization, they think they're advancing when they replace everyone who's working by machine. that the machine is becoming happy. So they replaced everything by a machine, so they think now we don't have to work anymore. We can just sit around and take drugs and perform all kinds of sinful activities and let the machine work. And all the profits will go to one person or a group of people, and everyone else will be in poverty stricken. But at least the machine is doing what we want. But what is it really doing? It winds up producing millions of useless articles which are sold as something valuable. Natevidu swarthagatim hivishnu darashaya ye bahi artamanina. They don't know that what's valuable is Krishna. That Krishna is the source of pleasure. Knowing Krishna means knowledge. And if we know Krishna, we can realize our spiritual identity and live free from all kinds of material problems. But they take as something valuable that if you can get a plastic, you know, car, if you can get a stereo, if you can get a computer, if you can get so many different things, that this is real value. And they manufacture these things at huge expense, huge burden on the natural resources. And people, they fill their houses with these things and attempt to become happy and satisfied, and all they do is become more and more miserable. And even as mentions here, even their own relations, even the idea of having a relationship with someone, they can't relate to. All they can think about is how to exploit the other person. As we know in modern society, you know, children, anything that's weak and defenseless, you just exploit it to the maximum. This is the sense gratification. If you can do it, you can do whatever, as long as you can get away with it, if you have enough power, if you have enough authority, you just exploit anything and everyone, and then you'll be happy. But of course we know that such persons can't be happy. All they can do is become more and more miserable. But the problem is that they become more and more addicted to this mood of exploitation. And if the people in general are being exploited, it's because they're also in ignorance. They don't know who a proper leader is. So they throw out one group of rascals and they put in another group. So the Bhagavatam speaks about that. Svavidvara hostra karar samstuta purusha pashu niyat karna patiyopeto jatu namagadagraja. Men who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they glorify bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But they never glorify the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we can expect that in such a society where the very principles of God consciousness are lacking, the very education of God conscious values are lacking, then they're sure to create an environment where all kinds of problems will be there. Therefore, we should try to understand this Vedic culture as much as possible, and according to what's practical, put it into practice and see how nice the culture it is. If our society, for instance, has problems, it's not because we're vegetarians. It's not because we follow principles. It's only because we don't understand the culture thoroughly enough, whether the Vaishnava culture or the Vedic culture, thoroughly enough to put into practice and to see how nice it is. And of course, the object of the Vedic culture is ultimately to always think of Krishna and to think of the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, of which one of them is here. That just by meditating on this pastime, how the ladies were joyful about their pregnancy. Not that, oh, it's another little, you know, rascal coming. You know, I'm going to have to feed the guy and clothe him, you know, educate the guy. You know, what can we do with it? So, especially in modern society, the aim is just sense gratification. So it's a burden. There's no question that, you know, what is the value of anything except for what it tastes like or how it'll gratify my senses. Therefore, it's less than an animal society. Even the animals, the tiger generally takes care of its cubs. It eats everything else, but at least its own cubs it takes care of. So similarly, in the Veda culture, children, they were considered to be a great blessing. And because they knew the value of affection, they knew the value of relationships, therefore they were very happy. They knew that real pleasure, at least, even in the material world, is through affectionate relationships. But now people don't have affection for anything. And they knew that the children, their goal was to bring them up in Krishna consciousness. Even Krishna was brought up to worship Narayan. Although he's God himself, but still he was taught how to worship Narayan. Even Nanda Maharaj, he's always worshiping Narayan. Although his real love is for Krishna, but still, dutifully, he worships Narayan. He has the deity of Narayan. And if you go to Mayapur, you'll see that there's the deity of Nanda Maharaj. Although his real deity was Krishna, still, out of respect for the Veda culture, he worships Narayan. Similarly, the whole culture was such that one's family, one's community, everything becomes worshipable in relationship to the Veda culture, and ultimately in relationship to Krishna. It's all taught to expand one's affection. Because by expanding one's affection, ultimately when it reaches Krishna, then it reaches its perfection. And modern society, which eliminates affection because of sense gratification, makes it practically impossible to understand anything about what Krishna consciousness is. Anything that's subtle or fine or sublime, people have no idea what it's about because they become more and more dulled by modern society. Therefore, the conclusion is that if we find out how nice the Veda culture is and we apply it, then actually people who are sincere, who have not become dulled completely by the age of Kali Yuga, that they'll also become attracted to such a culture. When they can see that the devotees are happy and satisfied, that they're enlightened, they're living peacefully, then they themselves will want to take to the same type of path. Those who are Sumedhasa. On the other hand, if we preach philosophy, but we ourselves don't even know what we're talking about, because we never really applied it, then the result is that people won't really appreciate very much what we're doing. If we talk about the modes of nature, but we ourselves are in the modes of ignorance and passion, then why will they take us seriously? On the other hand, if we're clean, if we're enlivened, if we're knowledgeable, if we have the qualities in the mode of goodness, then naturally people in the lower modes, they'll take us as the authorities. For one who's in the mode of ignorance, someone who has a little passionate, he becomes the authority. And for one in ignorance, someone who's a little less in ignorance, he becomes the authority. So if one is factioning goodness or transcendental, then naturally becomes the authority, the leader for so many other people. Even if he doesn't have wealth, just like in the Veda culture, the Brahmins, they were poor. But that doesn't mean that they weren't the leaders. We find that Prithu Maharaj, when he met the Kumaras, he said, I can't offer you the kingdom because it already belongs to you. Long ago, I already gave you the kingdom. So there's no question of giving you the kingdom. And whatever I have, it all belongs to you. Even my own body belongs to you. Everything belongs to you that I have. So the Brahmins in the Veda culture, although they appear to be poor, but because they're the representatives of Krishna, therefore they're accepted as the authority. So our society will advance not by gaining wealth, not by gaining material power, but by the devotees becoming Krishna conscious. And by becoming Krishna conscious, at least advancing to the mode of goodness, becoming truly Brahmins, and then we'll become respectable within society, not respectable to the demons. If we take too seriously everything that some demon says, if Kamsa stood up and said Krishna is bad, it's not that all the residents of Vrindavan decided to start to question whether Krishna was good or not. It
It's not that we should become bewildered by, you know, one or two or a group of people, because most people are innocent. Therefore, becoming bewildered by some propaganda, by a few demons. Demons, we don't mean people with horns. Means that people who don't know what the Vedic culture is, who are misleading, misdirecting people, who themselves are not, their next destination is not very bright. So to become too much agitated by such persons will simply misdirect ourselves. Simply we have to go on with our path. As Prabhupada said, just like the elephant, he walks down the path and so many jackals will bark. But that doesn't mean the elephant turns around and thinks, maybe I'm on the wrong path. The jackals don't agree with me. No, the elephant just calmly tolerates the yelling of the jackals and just calmly goes down the path. So we have to understand what the path is. We have to truly take to the path, and when we can understand it and preach to people in general, then we can explain to them what real leaders are like. And then they'll be capable of electing truly leaders to guide them properly. Right now they're bewildered. They have no true direction. They can see that they're not being properly directed, but because they're addicted to the lower modes themselves, therefore generally they elect another group of persons just like themselves to take power. So we have to re-educate society. That's what this movement is meant for. And to begin with, we have to educate ourselves how to act in the Vedic culture, how to act at least as devotees to Krishna, how to take the essence of the Vedic culture, which is Krishna consciousness, and apply it to our own lives. And as we become enlightened and enlivened, then Krishna will automatically make the arrangements that this culture will be able to be implemented in the world in general. Or, as they say, charity begins at home. That just as Krishna, he arranged the battle of Kurukshetra, he arranged that Yudhisthira Maharaj would be put into power. So similarly, if we ourselves become completely dependent on Krishna, if we become Krishna's instruments, then Krishna will also arrange it that proper government, proper leadership will also be there for society in general. Not that we can expect that everyone will become enlightened, but at least people will become enlightened enough when they can see that there's true leadership, then they'll want such leadership. So if this society can produce such true leaders in the form of proper managers, in the proper form of real Brahmins, who know the Vedic culture and who know how to apply it within their own lives and the lives of others, then everything auspicious will be there. When I was in Poland, just like we can see, Indradhuma Maharaj has a very nice preaching program there, which is gradually increasing. So it's not that it's a nice program that therefore the people who have some material interest, they'll appreciate it and they'll glorify it. No, they may have some vested interest, and this program is interfering with their vested interest. They'll do everything they can to attack it. Therefore, they were Indradhuma Maharaj before his first program. He was doing Harinam on the street, and there was some article came out claiming that we're, you know, brainwashed and we're doing, you know, we're, same thing as here. You know, we're dangerous because we're vegetarians. Other things like that. We get other people to become vegetarians, chant, you know, names of God, things like that. So they were passing it out, and then they canceled our program where it was going to be held. It was scheduled for weeks, and they had all the advertisements up. And they canceled the programs. But then the mayor, who was favorable because he had taken prasadam in another place, then he gave us another place completely outside the city to do the same program. So although there was no chance to advertise or whatever, very little, still they met someone on Harinam who ran a television program. And he advertised on the television, and then it was on the newspaper, and they did Harinam. It was probably one of the most successful programs. The whole thing was packed with all these young people who had to walk, many of them had to walk to the program. But It was hundreds and hundreds of people came to the program. And they danced. Even the mayor came. So though they're trying to stop us in so many different ways, still if we just go on with the preaching, then those who are sincere, they'll become attracted. Because not everyone's completely bewildered. People can see what's going on. And those people who don't like what we're doing, they'll become very happy. They'll become enlivened to see how we're being attacked. And those people who normally would become attracted to us, when they see how we're becoming attacked, they become more convinced. They become more receptive. Because they themselves, they can understand that, you know, there are people who are not very nice people. They attack everyone, and they attack them too. So we shouldn't be disturbed that sometimes there's bad publicity, not that we should invite it, but we should understand that this culture is the real culture, and because people don't follow this culture, therefore they accept something else as a culture. You know, sitting at home and drinking beer and watching people, you know, hit each other and, you know, in a boxing match, that's culture. And anything besides that is strange, weird. So why should we accept such a thing? Prabhupada said the scientists, they have their philosophy, they have their conviction, they have their so-called authority. The scientists who say we did this and that we have to accept them because they're the authority, and that we're wrong because we're not the authority. The Prabhupada said, no, why should we accept them? You don't accept us as an authority, and we don't accept you as an authority. So we have to find out, we're accepting the culture of Krishna consciousness. So the more we really accept it, then Krishna will actually empower us. Because it is the real authority. It's supposed to produce enlightened, enlivened, and knowledgeable persons who know how to live in the material world in such a way as to create a spiritual atmosphere, which ultimately will be attracted to the vast majority of people. So if we're able to do that, then we'll be able to do something effectively. So we shouldn't necessarily change what we're doing just because someone doesn't like it, but we should find out how to apply things properly according to Krishna's desire so it actually produces a proper effect and that people are actually, in general, are on the progressive path of illumination. We have so many examples. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when the Qazi told him to stop Harinam, it's not that he thought, well, you know, it is the Qazi. No, immediately he did huge protests. And because he's God, of course, therefore he was able to assemble hundreds and thousands of people in the protests. So we may not be so powerful. But we should stick with our conviction that this philosophy and culture of Krishna consciousness is the real culture. It's the only culture that will benefit ourselves or anyone else. And we should try to understand it and apply it properly in such a way as that it will actually one day be the prominent culture within this world. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes.
Maybe question marks, but I see the same thing like happening in London, that actually we're winning the sympathy of the people. I see it here when people come to validation, because, and it was also obvious in some articles when they came out with this sect thing, that there were articles which were very positive. And also when people come here, they like us. They like us. They don't think, and also they are not sympathetic towards the government.
We just have to be Krishna. We have to be devotees, real devotees, and people will like us. Because most people like Krishna. Because Krishna is supremely likable. And those who are in contact with Krishna, they also become likable like him. So we just have to maintain our connection with Krishna, and naturally people will become attracted, because Krishna is all attractive. And Krishna, when he'll make the arrangements. I mean, our history, our Vaishnava history, is not that the demons, they just as soon as they hear the holy name, immediately they surrender and become devotees. Some of them never become devotees, and some of them it takes a little bit of, you know, experience. I mean, Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur, the Pandavas, it's not that life in the material world is necessarily going to be a smooth sailing back to Godhead. So we can expect opposition. The whole material world, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the fights between the demons and the devotees. And long after we all go back to Godhead, there'll still be fights between the demons and the devotees. Because that's what the material world means. Whether even in the modes of nature, there's always competition between goodness and passion and ignorance. So that will go on as long as there is a material world. So these things are just inevitable. Yes.
I had a question about that, that you were explaining that, you know, about the differences in the modes of nature. So generally in us also it's a pattern that we come from ignorance and then we go up to passion and then we come to goodness. Isn't that the normal thing?
Well, naturally by Krishna consciousness we become purified from ignorance to passion to goodness. Tadara jastamo bhava kama lova deyastriye cheta eta anavidam stitam sadve prasidati. That by executing, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, then Krishna, who is within our heart, he gradually purifies our heart. And as it becomes purified, as we apply devotional service more and more sincerely, as Krishna becomes more and more pleased with us and purifies us, then gradually we go from ignorance to passion to goodness, and then finally transcendental. So it's the same progress, but our method is transcendental method to come to the transcendental platform. Yes.
Isn't it, Maharaj, that when we go into passion, that is, you were describing this affectionate relationships in Vaishnava culture, that we are not able to produce that because we are too much in passion?
To a certain extent, we're not practiced. But as soon as we do that, then we're not in passion anymore. We're transcendental. Tadati pratigrinati guyamakiti pritshiti bhunte bhajayate chaiva shadvidam pratilakshana. That's the life of the movement, of the Krishna consciousness movement. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam and offering prasadam. These are the six different exchanges of love between one devotee and another. Pratipurvakam. So first, with the elevated devotees, because in the next verse, Rupa Goswami gives us some indication of who to exchange these loving exchanges with. So it's all positive. That's our mood, is we're trying to see who to exchange loving relationships with. So at best, within our mind, we appreciate those who are engaged in something of the process. But if they're not very strict, then we don't associate with them very intimately, because otherwise we'll become deviated. We're not very advanced. And for those who are sincerely trying to apply it strictly within our lives, then we associate with them and we try and cooperate with them. And in these loving exchanges, we try and apply them. And for those who are very advanced, who are constantly engaged in these loving exchanges, who are expert in it, then we learn from them. And we try to follow their example and instructions, because they instruct us how to become more and more absorbed in these loving exchanges. That's their example and that's their teachings. Therefore, the life of the devotees is these loving exchanges. So if we haven't learned how to do them, that's what the whole purpose of the movement is. Therefore, Prabhupada, all the authorities of Prabhupada, for instance, he was most disturbed when he saw the devotees fighting against each other. As he said, our movement can't be harmed from without, it can only be harmed from within. Thank you very much. Granthare Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.